And you're listening to the music of Oso Matli here on CKLN 88.1. The program is called Saturday Morning Live. My name is Pedro Sanchez, and it is about 10 minutes to 12 here on this very sunny and warm and very spring-like Saturday in Toronto. Now we'll be speaking to Michel Chosudovsky. He is a professor of economics at the University of Ottawa. He joins us from Quebec. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Thank you for being with us, sir.
It's a pleasure.
We just got off the telephone with Maria Elena Repo. She just returned from Yugoslavia. She was one of a few Canadian observers there during the election. I thought that it would be a great opportunity to speak to you a little bit about the context in which these elections are taking place and to shed some light on the opposition. There's been a lot of issues. Maria Elena brought up the issue of the U.S. involvement. At one point, they had the opportunity to actually question one of the deputies from the opposition and about U.S. Involvement, namely the financial involvement. Professor Chosudovsky, maybe we could start there. Let's just begin with the extent of the involvement that the United States has in the elections specifically.
Well, this involvement is far-reaching, both in terms of the organizations of the U.S. government, which are directly financing political parties in Serbia, but also the actual amount of money is substantial. We have to bear in mind that just a few days ago, on the 25th of September, that was the day after the election, what happened was that the House of Representatives approved a $105 million package to finance the runoff elections. In other words, this is support that they'll be giving to these 18 political parties during the runoff.
That's just the recent decision in the Senate.
That was a decision of the House of Representatives. It's what was called H.R. 1064. It's an act. There was a virtual press blackout. There was only a couple of newspapers in the United States. In fact, there were three newspapers I scanned through, and it was only the Los Angeles Times, the Seattle Post, and another newspaper in Milwaukee, which actually reported on this, that the United States government has approved massive financing. I mean, we're talking about millions of bucks, big bucks, to finance these 18 political parties in the runoff campaign. Now, that is not the only feature of this intervention of a foreign government into an election process, which in any other country in the world would have been considered as totally, I mean, the parties would have been indicted, taken to court, their bank accounts would have been frozen. Yet the Yugoslav authorities haven't done anything. The election commission has not taken any measures against these parties, which suggests, in a sense, that they're being pretty tolerant of this kind of hijacking. I mean, Bill Clinton has said Milosevic is hijacking the election. The people who are hijacking the election is the U.S. government. There's money from the European Union. There's money from George Soros, from private businesses, from the National Endowment for Democracy. And then you have the PR firms which are there, and you've got these consultants who are looking at polls and so on, which are fabricating numbers at the exit of the polls. All that is happening. Now, the media is saying there's been a big fraud, pointing to Milosevic, but in fact the fraud is much more than a fraud. It's a situation where a foreign government is intervening in the election process in Yugoslavia. And they're buying the votes. I mean, they're literally buying the votes.
Now, that's a huge investment. What do they expect in return? What are there any conditions attached? What do they expect of this opposition?
They expect, and it's already happening. The opposition has already entered into negotiations in Bulgaria with the International Monetary Fund, NATO governments. They are now negotiating what is called a letter of intent. A letter of intent is a document which really accepts very stringent economic conditions, but at the same time, they will also be obliged to accept everything that the U.S. administration and NATO demand of them, which means secession of Kosovo, possible secession of Vojvodina, massive changes in institutions, and literally, and that is probably most important, literally, they have to put their whole country on the auction block for privatization, takeover. They have to pay war reparation damages. Now, if you look, there are two processes. One, there's the letter of intent, which is with the IMF, but there's a secret donor conference. The fact of the matter is that these people, they're members of the economics team. It's the most likely candidate for Minister of Finance, plus a couple of other people belonging to the so-called G17. They've gone off to Bulgaria, and they're negotiating with NATO governments behind closed doors without any mandate or authority from the Yugoslav electorate. In fact, they're selling the country before they even form a government, because a letter of intent, the negotiation of a letter of intent, can only be done by a government through a parliamentary decision that these people are authorized to start negotiating. So they are, in the fact, they are already negotiating with NATO, and they're already negotiating with the IMF to hand over on a silver platter the entire Yugoslav economy. And that is, ultimately, we're talking about economics. But what is more important there? Kostunica has said, we want to regularize our situation with the IMF, but we're against the bombers. Right. But of course, you can't make this kind of separation, because the IMF and NATO operate hand in hand, and the negotiations are not only with the IMF, they're with NATO governments, they're with the European Union, they're with the USAID, with representatives from Germany, France, Britain, and so on, okay? And what is more is that this U.S. legislation, which has just been passed, first of all, it reinforces the sanctions. And it reinforces the sanctions on a potential Kostunica government.
That's right.
And it says that it also stipulates that we will not allow the government to enter into any kind of agreement with the International Monetary Fund without fully abiding by what we tell them to do. In other words, secession of Kosovo, possible secession of Vojvodina, handing over Milosevic, and it's not only Milosevic that they want to have for the Hague Tribunal, but they've started establishing lists of several hundred or even thousands of individuals who are blacklisted because they did not collaborate at the municipal level. They did not collaborate with the bombers in the post-conflict period. So they're establishing people, politicians, municipal workers, whoever, who are now considered as war criminals, and they will be asking that a future government hand over these so-called presumed war criminals. And we know, of course, that the war criminals are the people who bombed Yugoslavia, who destroyed the country, and so on.
Professor Chosudovsky, I want to just turn your attention briefly to Montenegro, because this is one place where there are actually reports of intimidation and harassment from the observers who were there, that the government in Montenegro was not wanting Djukanovic, not wanting to have anybody in Montenegro vote. There was a boycott of the elections. And the situation of privatization in Montenegro actually is quite advanced. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Well, absolutely. I mean, in Montenegro, they have what is called privatization through liquidation. In fact, it's not really privatization, because what they're doing is they're liquidating local private firms, and they're handing them on off to foreign capital. It's recolonization. They are committed now to the privatization of the Adriatic, okay? The whole coast, the whole tourist infrastructure. There's a big, massive sell-off of the land, assets, resources. And the person who is behind that is Mr. Veselin Vukotic. It just so happens that Mr. Veselin Vukotic was the architect of the bankruptcy programs which were implemented in the late 80s and which really led to the destruction of that was in Yugoslavia, former Yugoslavia. And this, more or less, it set the stage for the breakup of Yugoslavia. In just over a year, 614,000 workers were fired from their jobs. They massively closed down enterprises. And Mr. Vukotic, in fact, the irony is that he's not only involved in the privatization program in Montenegro, he's also part of this G17 group, which is preparing the platform for the Kostunica government. So you see, it's a rather contradictory situation. But in fact, Kostunica also will have to accept, because he's more or less in the straitjacket of NATO and the International Monetary Fund, he will also have to accept the secession of Montenegro. So there you are, you have a government which is not yet elected and which has already made commitments to break up the country into Montenegro, Vojvodina, Kosovo, and whatever is left, which would be Serbia, and to establish virtually a puppet regime where the IMF and the World Bank would be calling the shots under the so-called stabilization pact for southeastern Europe with NATO troops in the background. This, in fact, the model for Yugoslavia really is Kosovo and Bosnia. It's the establishment of protectorates. In fact, protectorates is a very polite term. It's the establishment of puppet regimes, colonies of Western capital, which really will lead to absolutely social and economic devastation. So I think we have to be very careful when we look at Yugoslavia and say, well, Kostanica is a democrat. He's not a democrat. Democrats don't take money from the bombers, okay? The country has been bombed by NATO, and the people who are running for office are NATO payrolls. That is the situation. They are on the bombers' payroll. And the Yugoslav people realize that, okay? Not everybody, because the question is, it's very politicized, but they're starting to realize it. I would hope that the Serbian community in Canada, which is very heavily divided, will realize that these 18 political parties have already made commitments. We have the proof that they are negotiating in Bulgaria to sell off the country. Hmm. And the details of that have already been released. I've just completed a piece on this particular aspect of the fact that this G17 group of economists, which is really the government's, Kostanica's economic program, they have entered into negotiations with NATO governments and IMF behind closed doors in Bulgaria. And this is done between the day of the first round of the elections and the runoff, okay? So they're really setting the stage for the recolonization of their homeland, and Yugoslavs should understand that. It's not, I don't think we have in the anti-war movement, we have from the outset, at least as far as I'm concerned, I never made statements about the internal political situation in Yugoslavia because I consider that to be an internal matter. But this is no longer an internal matter because the main opposition candidate is taking money from the bombers. And in that sense, I cannot just simply say nothing and not make a statement regarding what is happening. The election, the ballot box has been hijacked by NATO, and their objective is to install a puppet regime. And they are in the process of doing that. Through various means. So the outcome of this election, there is a lot of dissatisfaction with the present government. Of course, that is an important issue. But the choice in these elections is between the existing government and a puppet regime, which would be controlled by Washington, NATO, and IMF.
Professor Chosudovsky, what can you comment about how this is going to unfold, whether Milosevic will leave or will be taken into custody? What will happen at the International Criminal Tribunal there?
I don't know what the outcome is going to be, but I don't think we can simply assume that Kostanica is going to win the second round. I'll tell you why. The turnout was approximately 60%. There's a lot of people who did not vote in the first round. They don't like Milosevic necessarily, but they don't like Kostanica either. But in the second round, there's a lot of nationalists who will vote for Milosevic. I suspect that the count will be very, very close, okay? But one should not exclude the possibility that Kostanica might, in fact, lose these elections through the ballot box. Of course, what the Western powers will say is this has been massive fraud. Whatever the outcome, they'll say is massive fraud, okay? Because they have already decided they want to install Kostanica as a president. It is therefore very important in the days to come that people around the world and people in Yugoslavia realize what is going on. They realize the massive fraud on the side of the United States government in financing these 18 political parties and of manipulating the public opinion within Yugoslavia. Their financial means are so large and almost unlimited. Secondly, they're paying money, okay, in the form of payoffs to key individuals in the opposition parties. Thirdly, they've already started negotiating a plan for the installation of a puppet government with the IMF and with representatives of different Western, of different NATO governments. And that has been done without the knowledge of people in Yugoslavia and virtually without the knowledge of public opinion around the world, okay? So that you can see what is at stake. Then, of course, there's the military, there's the blackmail, because there's an invasion plan which is on standby. We know that. I mean, it has been documented in numerous studies. There's an invasion plan, there's the military option, which is there, that if the country doesn't abide, they will threaten to invade them. I don't think that this is something which is likely to happen at this stage. Personally, I think it's very important that people in Yugoslavia understand what the choices are, okay? Of course, they will ultimately decide in the ballot whether they want to have a puppet regime run by Washington under NATO guns, which will lead to absolutely abysmal poverty. I mean, I think these economic policies will strike with revenge. They'll demand massive war reparations. They'll take over most of their land and property, as they have in many of the other countries in the region. That is, I think, what will happen with the Kostanica government. What will happen with the Milosevic government is not entirely clear because, again, we can expect that the sanctions will continue. Yeah. But the Yugoslavs are people who are very determined in their struggle against oppression. We know that this was a criminal war. We know that NATO wants to occupy the entire Balkans region for strategic and economic reasons. We know that the war was a big lie. They told us it was on humanitarian grounds. It turned out to be a big lie, and that is now corroborated by all the police files from Interpol, Europol, the FBI, that in fact it wasn't 10,000 or 100,000 people who were killed in a so-called humanitarian disaster and massacred by the Serbs. This didn't take place, and we have all the official documents to show that this was a big lie, including official reports of the German Foreign Ministry, the FBI reports on the number of casualties during the, in fact, during the whole bombing of Kosovo from March to June, they discovered 2,000 bodies, and they can't even state from the forensic reports that the people, there was no evidence of massacres or torture or anything. Many of these people were killed in the bombs, and many of them were not, many of them were Serbs and other ethnic groups. You know, the whole idea which was presented to us in March of 99 that there was a massacre, ethnic cleansing and so on is an absolute fabrication. Not to say that there weren't incidents, but all the reports that we have, even and the testimony of former OSCE observers, points to the fact that people lied to us. I mean, our politicians lied to us on the motivations of these bombings.
Professor Chachodovsky, we will keep our eyes wide open as this continues to unfold. We know that you will, and we look forward to speaking to you again.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye. Professor Chostodovsky is with the University of Ottawa, and he is a specialist, obviously, in the Balkan regions, and somebody very involved and who we will turn to again here on CKLN 88.1 as the situation in Yugoslavia continues to unfold. We're going to go to some music right now. This is a track entitled, don't even know if it has a name, but it is The Fire this time. And it's, again, going back to Blue Magazine, a magazine which highly recommendable for anybody out there who hasn't seen or read it. Blue Magazine is a wonderful product coming out of the United States. And it can be found in a few places here in Toronto. I know that the Toronto Women's Bookstore, definitely. This is track two. This is The Fire this time from Blue Magazine. When we return, we will speak to Manuel Rosenthal.
But I will never voluntarily accept the conditions of slavery. go to my grave a rebellious